Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back. The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland Mortgage Program, a community lending initiative of the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development, 1-800-638-7781. We were just informed there's a Morgan basketball game starting, so we have to shorten this part, which is a shame, but we only have 20 minutes, but we'll get these guys back soon to talk about this as well. But let me introduce who we have. Sarah Van Gelder is with us. She is co-founder and editor of Yes Magazine, that just put out a book on the Occupy protest that we will be linking to on our website. Cullen Nowakowski is with us, who is a member of the media team for Occupy Baltimore. They just got moved out 2 nights ago.
Yeah.
And co-founder and collective member of Red Emmas. And Bruce Little from Occupy Wall Street in New York. And Bruce, welcome too. Good to have you with us.
Thanks.
All right.
Hello.
Hi, Bruce. Welcome.
Hi.
Let's just jump into this. Folks, you can join us here at 410-319-8888. And Sarah, I'm glad you could join us. And let me just start with you, if I might. And I just was reading the essays in the book that you all put out on Occupy. And I just, as an overview, talk a bit about what you think this Occupy, as this probably maybe goes into a, not a quieter moment, but we'll see things happening. The winter won't be the same as the intensity as the summer. But what you think that the power of this movement is and what it signifies in America at the moment?
Well, Mark, thanks for having me on. And I think the Occupy movement has already accomplished an enormous amount. To begin with, it's fundamentally shifted the national conversation, the question of the enormous gap between the wealthy, the 1% and the 99% is now on the table all over the country. Any proposal that comes up, I think there's the implicit question, does this benefit the 1% or does it benefit the 99%? And that used to be a question that was papered over with sort of pseudo-economics, trickle down, you know, help the 1%, and that will somehow benefit everyone. That has really changed. And so, you know, I think that the change in the political debate is going to have lasting effects regardless of what happens next. And I actually expect that there will be major second and third acts for the movement and perhaps well beyond that.
It was interesting. We saw today that Time magazine, its person of the year are protesters from across the globe.
That's right. And I think that's an indication of just how powerful this movement has been around the world, but also right here in the United States.
And Cullen, you know that the movement here in Baltimore, there were 40 people there that were moved out at 4 o'clock in the morning by the police.
Yeah.
No one arrested.
Right.
In some ways, people describe it as kind of a gentle movement out. But
sure.
What was interesting to me is, and talk to people around the country, whether it's Philadelphia or Boston, even in New York, out in the West Coast, as we've done, that one of the things that happened here is of the 40 people, 23 said they would go to homeless shelters.
Yeah.
So this, in some ways, young activists who created Occupy had to deal with and come face to face with the realities of racism and poverty in America and those who suffer the most from it.
Right. And I do feel that that has been, in some ways, one of the things that has made sort of the far right response so apoplectic, is that it has really brought to public attention, to the center of the squares in many cities, the sort of disenfranchisement and dispossession that's been going on in the neoliberal city. And it makes it a point that you cannot ignore. You can't marginalize it and put it out of your mind.
And Bruce, it's good to have you back with us.
Hi. Yeah, thank you. I'm glad to be back.
So talk a bit about, where we are now with Occupy New York, but also one of the things you've been deeply involved with has been the participation of communities of color, because this has been painted often as a completely white world.
Right. Well, my experiences have been here in New York City is that, it's always, when the media – the occupiers get attention, via the media, they may go straight to the park or where the occupation was once held, and you will see still predominantly white crowd. People think that there isn't really a relationship there with people of color, that there may not have been a great deal of outreach. It happens, but it's not happening. It's kind of hard to explain. Right now, there is definitely a working group similar. They meet every Sunday here in New York City, and a lot of them are indeed part of the larger working groups of OWS. A lot of them have been, you know, involved in the arrests and the raids that have happened at Zuccotti Park. But yeah, in terms of that, of course, have been with the economic, strife in the last 20, 30 years. You know, communities of color, working class communities of color, have been dealing with a lot of these things way longer. And so there's people who are interested, there's people who are involved, and, you know, but it's just not enough, and the outreach is kind of hard because, you know, the outreach would be kind of hard to do. I think OWS in general is dealing with its own survival and basically trying to stay alive as a movement. It's kind of a hard, tightrope to work. And trying to build a larger group.
And Bruce, your cell phone sounding a little bit like you're underwater, but we got most of what you said. But let me go to the phones here, 410-319-8888. Clarence, you're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, Mr. Steiner.
Hi, Clarence. Welcome.
Hey, indirectly or not directly, but California recently passed, you know, made a law resolution that said corporations would not be afforded the same rights as an individual there. And do you see, you know, an opinion from you and your guest, do you see a connection, maybe two arrows that are headed in the same direction with the Occupy Wall Street and all of the other occupies? Because to me, that's essentially a step in the right direction, as one of which I view as should have been one of the goals from the start. Is there an ensuing battle that maybe the Occupy between California and corporate America and the Supreme Court that maybe the Occupy movement could use to their advantage? Just an opinion.
Huh. Sarah, you want to jump on that first?
Yes. Yeah, I'd love to. First off, on the Citizens United decision of the Supreme Court, there is a plan for an Occupy the Courts Day on the one-year anniversary of that decision. That will be on January 20th, I believe. So, yes, that's very much, I think, on the minds of a lot of the Occupy organizers. In terms of L.A., the Occupy L.A. passed a resolution, and then the city council unanimously also passed a resolution calling for the end of corporate personhood. And I think that's an incredibly important next step for the movement. The movement has, as you know, has not put out a list of demands, but they have been very clear about the pernicious effect of having Wall Street and large corporations having way too much power in our society. And one of the ways to address that is to put an end to corporate personhood, and that will require a constitutional amendment, I believe.
Colin, you're about to say something?
I think that there's sort of three things that characterize the Occupy moment, and that is a recognition that the problem of economic and wealth disparity is one that needs to be addressed, to the question of social atomization, and third, political disempowerment. And it's a recognition that these things are all connected, and that the social atomization that we're experiencing has to do with privatization. Political disempowerment has to do with the empowerment of corporations and the rich. So, yeah, all these things are interconnected. And the thing about the Occupy movement that's embodied in certain sort of tactical approaches and certain principles of direct democracy, et cetera, is can this movement carry forth that moment and then deepen those connections, draw those connections out, and also connect with those who have been doing these sort of fragmented or piecemeal attacks on these issues and bring them all together.
Let me go back to the phones, but to return to Bruce as well. 410-319-8888. Terry, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Terry.
Hi. I'm Terry from Occupy Baltimore. I was just going to say that I think a lot of the backlash or critique of the movement currently is more along the lines of who's saying the message, not necessarily the premises of the message, whether it be lopsided in demographic representation. And I think this is a really positive thing. I think it means that we're resonating. The message is actually resonating. And I was actually just with Cullen at a meeting with some members of the African-American community here in Baltimore, and they were discussing whether or not this movement has relevance. And they were talking about stealing the brand. And that, to me, is about all what this movement is about. It's not about this closed group where we have an ideology that we're trying to keep pure. If you agree with the basic premises of this movement, you can feel empowered to use some of the tactics, use some of the language that we've laid out, and use it for your own cause, because this does apply to virtually every issue that's on our table these days.
Terry, thanks for being part of the show and calling in. I want to ask Sarah a question, and maybe Bruce, and with a little bit of time we have left, can chime in as well as Cullen. But one of the things sets this apart from things that might have happened 40 years ago in the 60s is the cross-fertilization with the union movement that has happened. Though in the West Coast, the closing down the ports, you saw a lot of union workers going, wait, you know, I just lost a day's pay. I don't know if it was well coordinated with the union members at all on the West Coast, but both the contradictions and the support that's been going on between Occupy and the unions. If you could speak to that.
Yeah, I think the port picture was very mixed. There were certainly some rank and file workers, and including non-union workers, who have been trying to get some rights. Some of the truck drivers who are considered contract laborers and don't have the basic rights of a worker, much less a unionized worker, you know, who are very much in support of this, and some of the mainline unions were not. So it's been a mixed picture there. I think part of what we're seeing is a lot of people saying, you know, we're in the working class, whether or not we have union representation, and at the same time also really reaching out to the unions and wanting to make common cause. I think it's unfortunate that there was somewhat of a breakdown in that during this most recent event, but I expect that there will be many more opportunities where there will be much more common action.
And Bruce, I mean, in New York, the unions played a significant role in Occupy.
Yes, they have. And you know, I've been in, you know, different movements and things like this, you know, throughout the years, and I've never really seen the unions come out so strongly around, you know, around something more devilish, larger movement, you know, in a very long time. I've not seen them work this much, like be involved in unions, especially where arrests may have looking to do things, act actions. They like.
Bruce, we're only getting like every other word you're saying.
Oh, yeah. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that sounds a bit better.
Okay, sorry. Okay, just to make it short, the unions have been definitely involved way more than I've ever seen them in years. You know, in anything, I mean, in a lot of movements, and unless it was something specific to them, and I think that it speaks a great deal to what's been going on economically for working class people. And they've been involved in a lot of direct actions, shutting down the bridge back in November 17th, or at least their attempts to do so. I mean, it's been really awesome. I've never seen anything like this in a long while.
And if there's any kind of, is anything that could really symbolize what could be a powerful movement is the coming together of, it seems to me, the forces of unions, regular people who work for a living every day, 9 to 5, and people in the Occupy movement coming together. That's why that's why this rumbling is so scary,
yeah,
to a lot of forces in power. Go ahead, Colin.
I think that the power, the potential of the Occupy movement is to be able to provide this horizontal platform for interaction of different groupings that have already been doing some of this social work. I think initially, especially, there was perhaps this problem, and maybe it's still a problem, and it is a danger of a sort of mutual narcissism where the existing organizations of the left or progressive or labor, whatever it may be, is suspicious of the Occupy movement because it's new, it's different, It doesn't seem to be controllable. And also, it's a bunch of kids or it's a bunch of hippies or whatever, however you want to describe it. On the other hand, from the Occupy movement, there's been this sense of, well, you guys have been trying for a long time and haven't really been successful with your tactics, and our tactics seem to have worked, so therefore our tactics are the best and they're the only tactics and they're the right tactics at all times. And there's been suspicion of previously existing organizers in some cases. I think now is the moment, now that we're a couple months in and people have had really just an incredible amount of experience in a very short period of time, where it sort of all these social groups can recognize each other and recognize the power that they can give to one another.
And Sarah, as we have to close out here a little early, I apologize, but I'd like you to kind of give a quick analysis of where you think the Occupy movement goes from here. You alluded to something earlier.
Yeah, I think there is a phase that we're going through right now where there's a sort of a regathering after all the evictions from the different Occupy sites, and people are starting to branch out and move into the Occupy the homes and Occupy the courts and actually becoming getting into occupying more specific areas of our society, which could in some ways be more powerful than having people simply occupy small parks. At the same time, I think that once the winter's over and the weather starts opening up again, I think we are likely to see the actual camp out, big occupations happening again at an even larger scale. And I think a couple of the groups that we shouldn't discount, one is the students. I think we've just begun to hear from them and the actual situation that young people are facing with the enormous student debts and then joblessness is just untenable. So I think we should expect to continue to hear from students, and I think the role of homeless people is going to become clearer, and as people who are in those kinds of straits are increasingly understood to be at the core of the movement, I think we're going to see some linkages that are going to simply make the movement even more powerful.
Sarah Van Gelder is co-founder and editor of Yes Magazine. The link to their new book will be on our website. We are also producing 15 conversations with Yes Magazine that will be on our website and their website and on our show with the 15 visionaries that were written about in their magazine on their 15th anniversary. So we've had one on. We look forward to doing more of those. Colin Noel Wolkowski, member of the media team for Occupy Baltimore, has been back in the studio. Good to have you back in the air with us, Colin.
Thank you.
And my friend Bruce Little from New York has been back in the air with us. Bruce, thank you so much for joining us again.
Yes, thank you.
Good to have you all with us.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Cricket Aronson and Justin Levy. We are and our assistant producers, Cassandra Monsanto and Alex Pearson, interning with us tonight and manning the phones. We're engineered by Zachary Coleman. Our theme music is by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts. To hear this show again, podcast any of our past shows, hear new additional interviews, and find out information about our guests and the work they do, please visit us on the web at steinershow.org. And for Public Radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, I'm Mark Steiner. Take care. Morgan basketball coming up.